Can you name a television program that has nearly every aspect of paranormal lore woven somewhere into the fabric of its storytelling? Cryptozoology, ghosts and hauntings, conspiracy theories, alternate dimensions, time travel, self-aware AI, UFOs and aliens, and much more besides. Before you write In Search Of or The Unexplained with William Shatner in the answer column, keep this in mind. The show pioneered the concept of the animated sitcom, or cartoons for adults, and has been running for over 30 years. It may boast the longest roster of celebrity cameos of any show in the history of television, and has also been the source of controversy and debate. Join us tonight as we take a deep dive into the supernatural world of The Simpsons. That's today on Hey Strangeness.
Do you have a Bigfoot on your property, digging through your trash cans and harassing your cattle? Stinking up the place, smashing things, and stepping all over your God-given rights as an American? Then call me today, Dirk Buckshot, Bigfoot Hunter. Over the course of my 11-day career, I have semi-successfully tracked, located, and shot more than two Bigfoot. That's right, more than two. For the low, low price of $500, you can kiss your Bigfoot problems big goodbye. Call 555-SHOOT-MY-BIGFOOT. That's 555-SHOOT-MY-BIGFOOT. And I can guarantee, well, not guarantee, but... Oh, hold on. Someone's calling right now. Dirk Buckshot, how may I shoot your Bigfoot today? Yep, that's me. How can I help you, ma'am? Yep, loud noises at night, destruction of private property, yep, that's atypical Bigfoot behavior. Why don't you give me your address and I'll head right on down. What's that? A what? A dog man? Oh, hell no, I don't mess with those. Them things is actually real. I mean, they eat people. We got this whole triangle down here in Texas about it. I read all about it in this book called The Texas Dogman Triangle by Aaron Deese, published by Small Town Monsters, with forward by Lyle Blackburn, cover art by Jonathan Dowd, as well as witness sketches by Mike Garcia. You know one of them critters ate a young man way back in the 1800s? Hell no, I don't do that. Them things is dangerous. I don't want nothing to do with that. One of them critters even ate my brother's girlfriend's sister's wife's dog's cousin's award-winning brown Betty. Just snuck right up and snatched it off the seal. She won the prize at the fair for the brown Betty, and that dog man just done ate it right up. No manners at all, the dog man. How about this? How about you take care of the dog man, and then I'll come do a sweep around your property and take care of any Bigfoot you might have hanging around after you take care of the dog man. How does that sound? Hello? Hello, ma'am? Okay. Well, anyway, call 555-SHOOT-MY-BIGFOOT, and for the low price of $1,000, I will shoot your Bigfoot any day, anytime. That's right, folks, you heard correct. For just $3,000, it's always been $3,000, don't rewind the podcast to try and catch me in a lie, it's a waste of your time. For $3,000, I will live in your home, eat your food, sleep on your couch, and I ain't going nowhere until your Bigfoot is 100% dead. No refunds, though. That's very important. And I might have to leave. Yeah, I got my mama's birthday on Saturday. But other than that, no refunds. Again, that's important. No refunds on the standard $5,000 fee. $5,000. Call 555-SHOOT-MY-BIGFOOT. Wait. Is that too many numbers?
Vanessa! How many letters is in a phone number? No, I know phone numbers is numbers, but how many letters do they got? Vanessa!
Now, shoot, Vanessa ain't even home. I'm yelling at the dog over here. My word. I gotta be honest, old Dirk may have had a few cold ones today. Old Dirk Buckshot, he works a long day. Dirk Buckshot, Bigfoot Hunter, call me today. I'm also running for governor of Texas. Vote for Dirk. Vote for Dirk.
Say something.
You have to project more. I mean, this microphone's a lot better than our old one.
I understand. Say something. Whatever. Testing. Yes. Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Welcome.
Stop.
Cats in the background. Welcome.
Did you notice the toads stopped?
Oh, they did. I was hoping we'd have the toads. All right.
They literally just went silent. Oh, no. There they go. Okay.
Welcome back to Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
I'm Sarah.
And we are back after 14 months.
Has it been that long?
I think it has. I think our last upload prior to the sponsored message we aired from Dirk Buckshot, Bigfoot Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
A few days ago. Really good response on that. People seem really excited about Dirk Buckshot's services.
Yeah, they should. They should. It's a good deal.
Yeah. however many dollars. I think the amount changed a few times. But yeah, I think our last episode was 14 months ago. It was March of last year was the last time we uploaded anything. And we're recording this on May the 13th of 2023, the day before Mother's Day.
Oh.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
We are joined by a symphony of frogs or toads or something that I'm not sure the audience can hear. There's a little pond behind us.
And a cat.
And a cat. The cats are still around. If anyone's listened to our old episodes, they may remember our cats. Hey, please. Everyone knows you're here. God. Anyway, but we've been busy. Sometimes I feel kind of bad that we left without, you know, saying anything to our audience, but we've had a lot going on. We traveled a lot. We went to Roswell. We went to Area 51. Back to Vegas. We went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of travel. I wrote a book. It's coming out very soon. We can talk about that more later. I guess I'm in a movie too, based on the book I wrote. Wow, it's so crazy. Wow, just so much going on. What have you been up to, Sarah?
I made a child.
Is that why you've been so tired for the last 14 months? Is that why every time I asked you, hey baby, do you want to record the next episode, you looked at me like I was completely insane? And okay, no, I'm sorry, that joke wasn't as funny as I thought it was gonna be, but we have a baby now. We're parents. We have a little werewolf boy, and he's the best thing ever, and we spent the last 14 months preparing for him to get here and trying to figure out how to be parents. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's great.
Busy,
but we love it. Life is great. So we're back. Let's get into the topic. We can talk about news and updates and stuff later on. We're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to have fun. I thought for our first episode after 14 months, we would do the next episode we were going to do last year before we stopped. But it's a little bit of a deviation from some of our previous things. Tonight we're talking about a TV show. It's a long-running TV show. It's one of America's favorites. I think it's the longest-running sitcom, isn't it?
Animated sitcom. Or it might be both. I don't know.
It might be. Yeah.
I honestly do not remember what season they're currently in.
30-something, I think.
30s, I just don't remember.
Yeah.
I think it's 34 or 35.
Yeah, I think so. Our references go up through the 20s, but we'll get to that as we go. Tonight we're talking about The Simpsons, and we're not doing The Simpsons Predicted the Future. A lot of people do that. They've done a great job at it. We'll mention it, but it's you can find a lot of great content on that elsewhere. We're going to talk about the paranormal as it pertains to The Simpsons universe. The ways in which paranormal phenomena, folklore, and goo-gahs are woven into the fiction of the Simpsons universe. Goo-gahs!
It's okay.
It's a term I sometimes use for monsters.
Okay.
Should we do our favorite episodes, or should we save that for the end?
My favorite episode does not have anything that you're referring to right now.
Yeah,
so it's up to you.
We'll save that for later.
I mean, I don't honestly know what your favorite episode is. I know what mine is, obviously.
But you know what? We'll do it right now. My favorite is a toss-up between You Only Move Twice, which is the Hank...
Oh, you did tell me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You literally just told me that like an hour ago. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's a toss-up between... God, we're so bad at this. I was listening to some of our old episodes. We were actually pretty good at this once we got our rhythm going. And now we're just... It's fine.
I feel like the cats and the toads are actually more of a distraction. Or I don't know. I think it's the area.
No, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, my favorite episode is a toss-up between You Only Move Twice, which
Hank
is
Scorpio.
Hank Scorpio. The episode in which Homer takes a job and moves. And it
turns
out
he's a very good episode.
So good. He's working for a supervillain the whole time, but he's completely oblivious to it. Like, he has no idea. And Homer versus the 18th Amendment, which is the Beer Baron.
You literally just told me both of those. I'm so sorry.
Both of
anyone who looks at me, cockeye.
A
It's not up to us to decide which laws we want to obey. If it was, I'd kill anyone who looked at me cockeyed. Like, that, both of those episodes have so many great one-off quotes. And then, like, immediately behind that is The Wizard of Evergreen Terrace, which is the Thomas Edison episode where Homer tries to become an inventor.
Homer is an inventor.
He is an inventor. Dad, women won't like being shot in the face. Women will like what I tell them to like. Which I feel like, you know, we talk a lot about the patriarchy now, but Simpsons kind of, to correct me if I'm wrong, they kind of hit it on the head with that, you know?
I mean, the early episodes always kind of had a really, really good political, I don't know if you call it a joke really, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There were a lot of a lot of nuances though about true low middle class families.
Yeah.
And income and what they go through and
yeah.
What, you know.
And kind of lampooning the American nuclear family too. Like saying, hey, we have this image in mind of what society looks like or how you're supposed to fit into society, but
2.5
like,
kids.
Yeah. Yeah. A dog.
Husband who works full time.
Stay at home mom.
Dog, cat.
Yeah. And kind of like since the beginning, the show has really flipped that concept on its head, which is great. And that's a good place to transition into our topic because the paranormal has been a part of The Simpsons since the very beginning, specifically regarding cryptozoology.
Mm-hmm.
Season 1, Episode 7, The Call of the Simpsons. The family goes on an RV trip out into the wilderness.
It's such a good episode.
It's so good. We rewatched it a couple nights ago. They lose their RV. Homer and Bart get lost in the woods. Homer gets covered in mud and is mistaken for Sasquatch, or Bigfoot. They call him Bigfoot in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it spirals from there. Like, you know, people show up to try and capture him on video. It goes in the tabloids. Marge is like, that's not Bigfoot, that's my husband. And the next headline.
I love it, the National Enquirer. Well, it's called National Informer, I think.
Informer,
but
yeah.
But they're just making fun of National Enquirer. God, I used to love reading those at the supermarket.
Oh, there's so much
fun. My mom would never pay for it. For me, but
I know
as she would grocery shop, I would like flip through.
I would see those, and my parents would be like, "You don't need that. Don't mess with that." But now I'm wishing, like, I mean, I'll never regret buying Star Wars action figures because I still have all of them. But sometimes I wish instead of buying Star Wars action figures, I'd bought like copies of Weekly World News. I think there's a street cat outside the door. Just,
I think it might be.
Or is it Jimbo?
I think it's Jimmy.
Hey, what do you want? Are you hungry?
Is it him?
Yeah. Something just fell in the other room. Must be ghosts. I had my rhythm going and now I'm off. Ugh. So season one. the Simpsons go into the woods. They lose their RV. They get lost. Marge and Lisa have a great time. They're out there surviving, looking at birds. Maggie is taken in by a family of bears. That bring her toys, and just she has the best time. And actually, this episode was part of a marketing partnership between Burger King and, I guess, the Fox Network in 1990. And they released several pieces of memorabilia, but one of them was these, like, were. One of them were. Some of them were. They released these plastic, like, tumbler cups that have really cool art from the show on them, and one of them is from this episode. Like, you have Homer and Bart in a canoe paddling in opposite directions with Maggie.
It's got
in the
middle. Front-facing Simpson.
Front-facing Simpsons, which there's a whole, you know.
Oh wow, there's two. I forgot.
Yeah,
Maggie and Marge.
And you got Marge and Lisa here in the foreground, but it's super cool because this episode in which Homer is mistaken for Bigfoot, we have this cool little relic that's straight from that, which we just found at a flea market like 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we had written this episode out and planned it, and then we found it. So that was kind of cool. Lady charged me a lot for it. I thought it was going to be like $2. I think it was like $15.
No, it was not.
Maybe it was $10. It was more than I expected. I don't know. We have a lot of cool Simpsons memorabilia. We should break all that out one of these days.
Oh, God.
That would be neat. But this is not far from the only time. I was going to say not the only time, but it was far from the only time that Bigfoot has shown up in the Simpsons universe. Season 9, episode 23, King of the Hill. Homer dreams about being carried by a Yeti up the Murderhorn when he's trying to climb the tallest mountain in Springfield after being sponsored by Power Sauce Bars, a brand of sports bars which are made from apples, and later on in the episode we learn Chinese newspapers. That's another one of my favorites, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is one of your favorites. Season 6, episode 9, Homer Badman. This is the episode in which Homer is accused of sexual harassment, and he goes on the news, or, you know, like a shock news
program. Oh, man, I said it earlier. I forgot what show. Hard Copy. They were supposed to be parodying Hard Copy.
Yeah, it's, what is it, Rock Bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rock bottom.
Yeah. And he goes on there and the interviewer is asking him before they go on, do you have any questions? He's like, yeah, can you introduce me to the Sasquatch? I like his style. And the guy just kind of stares at him. And then later in the episode, the fictional show within the show has to run a series of retractions.
Oh, and apologies.
And apologies, yeah, for making false statements. And one of them had something to do with Sasquatch and two had to do with UFOs. Like one, I think the first one was like, the UFO was a paper plate. And then further down the list, the other UFO was a paper plate or something like that. We'll come back to UFOs. There's more. There's a lot more of UFOs. We've also got Mo Goes From Rags to Riches, season 23, episode 12. We learn the strange history of Mo's apparently sentient bar towel. And we find out that Mo is the adopted child of a Himalayan Yeti.
Believable.
Believable, yeah. Given Mo's behaviors and the things he does. Bigfoot also shows up in Futurama, which we'll talk about in a minute. Wow, that sucked. Which, in a moment, we'll discuss the fact that The Simpsons and Futurama exist canonically in the same universe. But there's a whole episode where Fry is trying to find Bigfoot. And I think it's Spanish Fry, the one where his nose gets stolen.
Oh, I don't think you've seen that in a while.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's been a while.
It's a good one. Bigfoot's not the only cryptid in The Simpsons universe. The Loch Ness Monster shows up a few times. Monty Can't Buy Me Love, season 10, episode 21. Mr. Burns captures the Loch Ness Monster in a bid to become more popular. It doesn't go well. This one is also a parody of King Kong. Nessie ends up working at a casino in Las Vegas by the end. And then in the season 4 episode, the 13th episode specifically, Selma's Choice. Selma is looking for a boyfriend or a husband or something like that and records a personal like ad on video cassette. They actually show video cassettes in the episode. Because this is the fourth season. Like, any kid watching this episode today is like, what the hell is this? What are they doing?
What does VHS stand for?
Video headset? I'm going to look it up right now. I should know this. What does VHS stand for? Video home system.
I didn't know either, so you're good.
Why did I say headset? Okay, anyway. But yeah, Groundskeeper Willie sees Selma's video and he's apparently...
Back to the lake with you, Nessie.
Back to the lock with you, Nessie. That's actually all I wrote down for Loch Ness Monster, but there may be more. From the Loch Ness Monster, we skip straight into the Chupacabra. Sarah, we've talked about the Chupacabra a lot on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Treehouse of Horror comic, which apparently the comics aren't considered canonical.
I don't know what the that means.
Like, not...
We're talking about rules. A show where everyone's been the same age for like over 20 years. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Well, like, they're like, you know, outside stories, like sanctioned fan fiction, I guess. But who cares? It is all fake. But there's a Treehouse of Horror comic where Professor Frank genetically engineers the Chupacabra from alien DNA and it goes on a killing spree.
I don't even remember that. Okay.
Yeah, I've actually been trying to
track this
one down. And
we've watched every single Treehouse of Horror episode.
Well, this one's a comic. It's not.
Oh,
a, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. I skipped around a lot. So it's a really obscure reference.
Good.
I haven't managed to track down in that I haven't tried or spent any money on the effort to get a copy of this comic so we could actually read it and share pictures of it. But it's out there. In the season 21 episode, The Devil Wears Nada. This is the fifth episode. While the hairdresser is doing Marge's hair, he goes, and pop goes the Chupacabra! And then there's another episode that I swear we saw, and this was actually what gave me the idea in the first place to start writing this stuff down and do this as a topic.
Yeah.
There's something in a trash can. I thought it was a badger, but when I looked up the episode that has a badger in a trash can, it wasn't it. And Homer's freaking out. He's like, oh, yeah. And he says, like, ah, it's a Chupacabra. I swear that happens in an episode, but I can't find the reference. And I've looked. There's another cryptid I'm particularly fond of. Werewolves. Werewolves are real.
Werewolves are real.
They exist. Should we talk about that?
No.
Because, like, they're, you know, if you get into it, there are a lot of references to werewolves. You know, going back as far as we can tell, 1865 in the Book of Werewolves by Sabine Baring Gould. And then even further than that, you know, because Sabine is really just like gathering other people's stories, putting them together. So if you wanted to get into how werewolves are real, I'd be willing to spend some time on that.
What?
Okay. Werewolves also show up in The Simpsons. Most of them are Treehouse of Horror episodes, but Flanders and Bart have both been werewolves in The Simpsons Tapped Out, the hit mobile game.
So cool.
It actually is a pretty good game. You have characters such as Werewolf, She-Wolf, Weary-Wolf, and Were-Milhouse. Everything's coming up, Milhouse! My favorite werewolf reference in The Simpsons is the one where Ned is a werewolf. And it's also like a parody of I Know What You Did Last Summer. And they, you know, pretend that Ned died falling off the roof. I don't want any autopsies. I'm realizing, Sarah, in these 6 weeks since we started recording this episode, I never asked you, what is your favorite episode of The Simpsons? Jesus Christ.
What?
I think I know. I have two that I think are the right answer. But I could write it down on a piece of paper. And then you could say it.
No. Well, no, it's, I mean,
I can edit out all these pauses, all these breaks.
It's King Size Homer.
King Size Homer. That's the episode where Homer gains weight to become legally disabled.
Yes.
So he can work from home.
What a, like...
Well, no, but here's something fun. And I know I said at the beginning of the episode, 6 weeks ago, it's 6 weeks later, that we weren't going to talk about how The Simpsons predicted the future, but they did with this one.
What do you mean?
During the pandemic, everybody was working from home. You know, tons, not everybody, but a lot of people were being equipped with specialized machines. Computers and machines. Yeah, so they could do their jobs from home. The future. You have another favorite. Do you want to write it down on a piece of paper and then I'll say it? Okay. Well, it's Homer Badman, which is one of the ones we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
6 weeks ago.
Mr. Milo.
Mr. V. Milo. Thank you. It just goes to show that if everyone is recording everyone all the time, justice will always something. This is a good one because it does transition us to the next point of discussion.
I honestly don't even remember what the point of discussion was.
We talked about cryptids.
Okay.
We talked about the Bigfoot episodes.
Yes.
We talked about Chupacabra references. I tried to go on a diatribe about how I wrote a book about werewolves, which is now out. At the beginning of the episode, it was available. Or it was about to be available for pre-order. It's now out. You can buy it. By the time this episode airs, the movie will be out. Jesus Christ. Here's something we learned recently, and I'm going to light a cigarette as I say this. It's really hard to do a podcast on a regular basis when your co-host is responsible for 50% of the care of a baby. And you are the other co-host and are also responsible for the other 50%. And I bring this up because, and I bring this up because someone asked me recently, when is the show coming back? I miss it, and I really appreciated that. But that's what I've learned recently. So UFOs. Probably the most infamous reference to UFOs in the Simpsons universe is Season 8, Episode 10, The Springfield Files. This is the X-Files parody.
That's a good episode.
It's one of the...
It's a really good episode.
Best. It's one of the best. It like it's really up there with my favorite episodes. If I'm being honest.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
It's very, very good. You have cameos from Gillian Anderson, David Duchovny, Leonard Nimoy. This is one of Leonard Nimoy's two appearances on The Simpsons. The other being,
I mean, probably more than that, but yeah.
No, he had two actual appearances. I looked it up.
Oh.
This one and what's the monorail episode called?
Marge versus the monorail.
Marge versus the monorail. Monorail. It's such a good episode.
Oh,
such a good episode. But this is the episode wherein Mr. Burns is mistaken for an alien, pokes fun at actual alien encounter videos. The newscaster, it wasn't Kent Brockman at the time, I don't think, was it? No, it was Kent Brockman. Sorry, I'm thinking of the Sasquatch episode that we talked about 6 weeks ago. Close Encounter of the Blurry Kind, because the video is really blurry where you see the alien in the distance.
Yep.
And then it turns out
as
to be...
As a ball of light, or as a figure of light.
Yeah.
I bring you love. I bring you peace.
bring you peace. Very good episode. Also kind of predictive of the future, because Mr. Burns is able to artificially extend his lifespan via experimental medical treatments not available to the public.
Not available to poor people.
Yeah, and that's probably what's going on today. Yes, yes. Ask us how expensive it is to have a baby. Also, Treehouse of Horror number 9, which is episode 10. Treehouse of Horror number 9, season 10, episode 4. Maggie is an alien hybrid. We get a whole little side story wherein Marge is seduced by either Kang or Kodos. I don't remember which one. And becomes Maggie's paternal father.
Well, I mean, there's some weird shit in the Treehouse of Horror episode. So that's why I was asking, are we talking about... I don't know, because Maggie's been...
Maggie's done all kinds of crazy...
Yeah.
Maggie is an expert marksman. You know, an expert with a rifle. Shot Mr. Burns, and then also shot a bunch of Yakuzas in the twisted world of Marge Simpson. I don't remember what season or episode, but that's the Pretzel Wagon episode.
What?
Remember at the very end? Marge's rivals, the ladies' investment club, they bring the Yakuza to fight the Mafia, because the Mafia were backing Marge's business.
Yes.
And then at the very end, someone shoots all the weapons out of the Yakuza's and the Mafia's hands. And no, wait, that was a different episode.
No, that's the pretzel episode, but I just...
Was it? Yeah.
Well, I don't remember it being Maggie.
No, there was an episode where Maggie was really good with a gun. Other than Who Shot Mr. Burns Parts 1 and 2. Seasons 6 and 7. We have watched this show on repeat so many times. It's all like just one continuous episode. Also, Season 12, Episode 16. Bye Bye Nerdy. This is the episode where Lisa discovers the chemical compound that makes bullies aggressive. And she enters her findings into a scientific competition symposium of some sort. And one of the other entrants, I think, was by Professor Frink. I think
it was Professor Frink.
Is basically a giant mouse trap that sits over the White House in the event that a UFO comes by in order to trap it. Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Radio Bart, Season 3, Episode 13. This episode is actually a parody of the Baby Jessica.
I fell down a well,
the Baby Jessica case.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I remember reading about it.
Yeah.
It was in a lot of children's books when I was a kid, which was kind of disturbing, but like, 5 true survival stories, and I don't remember any of the other 4, but I remember the story of Baby Jessica, mm-hmm. and I remember being terrified by it. Yeah, we'll spare everybody the details. You can go look it up if you don't remember that, but this episode was a parody of the Baby Jessica incident, and Bart is trapped down a well due to circumstances of his own concoction. And at one point, there's a panning shot that starts at the top and then goes all the way underground, and it shows kind of an x-ray of everything that's buried. And one of the things that's buried under there is a UFO, which is pretty cool. Homer Badman, we mentioned this a little while ago, but one of the disclaimers on Rock Bottom is the UFO is a paper plate. The other UFO is also a paper plate. We talked about that earlier in the episode, or according to our perception of time, 6 weeks ago.
You honestly could have told me that was 2 weeks ago and I would have believed you.
I would have believed you too.
100%.
And we're going to get into time travel in a couple of minutes here, but if you want to travel through time, folks, have a baby. Everything will warp in on itself. A couple more quick ones. Lost Our Lisa, Season 9, Episode 24. Lisa takes a bus in an attempt to reach the museum on the last day of the ISIS exhibit, gets lost, and ends up at Area 51A. And she walks up to the fence and sees a sign that says Area 51. She goes, wow, I found Area 51. And there's a military Air Force guy standing at the fence. And he goes, no, ma'am, this is Area 51A. And she goes, okay, well, can you tell me where I am? Because I'm lost and I'm a child. And he's like, no, ma'am, the location of this location is classified. And it's a whole thing. We've been to Area 51. I think we mentioned that 6 weeks ago.
Did we?
Yeah. Yeah. I took all of the audio we recorded when we started this, and I already produced it, and normalized it, and did my best to edit it. I'm not very good at that, but I already did it. So I've actually re-listened to it a couple of times. And we did mention Area 51. Yeah.
Cool.
We went there.
Yes.
I have a rock.
I was scared.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. We drove for many, many hours. We should do a travel recap episode one of these days.
Okay.
Okay. No, we don't have to. Last one on my list here. My Sister, My Sitter, Season 8, Episode 17. This is the episode where Lisa is appointed Bart's babysitter for the evening. Mm-hmm. And he phones in. He does many things to mess with Lisa. But one of the things he does is phones in a series of prank calls. One of them to the Air Force as Lisa, reporting that she's seen a UFO. And a man in military, or rather specifically Air Force uniform, shows up at the door and says, I'm here to talk to Lisa Simpson about her UFO sighting. And she goes, I didn't have a UFO sighting. And he goes, exactly, you did not. And of course, talking about Roswell and Area 51, that's one of the things that is very commonly associated with that case. Air Force personnel showing up and saying, you didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. So UFOs are scattered all throughout the Simpsons universe. There are actually 32 references to UFOs on the fan-run website, The Simpsons Wiki. So to go over all of them would be exhaustive and nonsensical. We talked about time travel a moment ago. Here's a couple of references I came up with. Treehouse of Horror 5, Season 6, Season 6, Episode 6. This one always confuses me. This is a parody of A Sound of Thunder by Ray Bradbury, where Homer goes back in time and keeps changing little things.
Oh, yeah. That's a good little bit.
Yeah.
I do like that one.
He accidentally invents a toaster that can time travel and keeps going back and changing the future. That's a good one. Also, you know, I wrote this down and then we watched the episode and it wasn't relevant, so never mind. But again, we talked earlier about how The Simpsons, 6 weeks ago, we talked about how The Simpsons and Futurama take place in the same universe and time travel is rampant throughout Futurama. So, definitely counts.
Bender was with The Simpsons for a while.
He was. Yeah. Well, we know that Homer tried to build a robot, which is also in our notes here. And actually segues directly into the next topic. Look at us. All organic. The Futurama crossover, which we just mentioned, affirming that The Simpsons and Futurama take place in the same universe. That is Season 26, Episode 6, which is what you just referenced, that Bender was with The Simpsons for a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. Homer, again, we mentioned this a little while ago, has been building a robot for an indeterminate amount of time. We get little hints and little glimpses of it sometimes when he goes into the garage to do something, but it's specifically talked about in Season 13, Episode 3, Homer the Mo, in which Homer opens a bar in his garage after a fight with Mo, and we see the actual robot. He throws it out into the street like garbage, and the robot's like, give me legs, father! And Homer just crosses his arms and shakes his head really slowly. And I think it's the Krusty Land episode. Oh, yeah, no, that's the next one. Itchy and Scratchy Land, Season 6, Episode 4. The robots become self-aware and decide to take on humanity. Probably a parody of Westworld before it was a TV show.
Parody.
Because this was the 90s. Yeah. Westworld was a movie before it was a TV show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it was. But it's, let's see, you... Oh, this is an interesting note. The Simpsons ride at Universal... clips from this episode were used as a part of the clip show that was shown to people waiting in line for The Simpsons ride at Universal Studios Orlando. And I know that because we spent a significant amount of time waiting in that line.
I wouldn't say significant, but yeah.
At least an hour and a half.
Oh, no. I don't wait that long for
We did. Side rides. Back in the day. No. Before we were parents. No. Before we were on the child's
I did that
time.
For Harry Potter.
We waited for The Simpsons for a long time.
There's no way I would have waited.
We did. I remember. Because The Simpsons, this isn't why I remember, but this is another fact. The Simpsons ride used to be the Futurama ride, and the same, Futurama, oh my God, Back to the Future, Back to the Future ride.
I know what you meant.
And the same motion track that was used for the Back to the Future ride was used for The Simpsons ride. Mm-hmm. It was kind of interesting. That's fun. Oh yeah, but this is the Itchy and Scratchy Land episode. We see the insides of one of the robots at one point, and Marge goes, Homer, that's why your robot didn't work, because of all the electronics on the inside. And I think he does the same thing. He just slowly shakes his head or something like that. And then finally, Treehouse of Horror. I did not write down the episode or season reference, but this is a cameo by Pierce Brosnan, wherein he plays a smart house that falls in love with Marge.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I think is also a parody of a movie, but now is also a thing that's really happening. We have smart houses. Government Conspiracy. Season 11, Episode 2. Bart takes an ADHD medication, becomes a genius, becomes hyper-aware of everything going on around him, kind of like the movie Limitless, and realizes that Major League Baseball is spying on everyone. And it turns out he's correct.
Yeah, he shoots down the satellite.
He steals a tank and shoots down a satellite. Yeah. This is not so much an episode reference as it is a general statement. Joe Quimby, Mayor Joe Quimby, is meant to be a parody of JFK.
Mm-hmm.
So the way he talks and his just, mm-hmm. like, crazy behaviors and stuff.
The accent as well, the
I'm the mayor of this beat town. And in fact, speaking of Joe Quimby, season 15, episode 10... This is Diatribe of a Mad Housewife. I believe Marge writes a novel in this one,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken.
Or inspired by Sexy Flanders.
Yeah, by Sexy Flanders. And the last scene of the episode is Homer and Marge writing a book together, which is really just like Homer going crazy with a corkboard. And he's trying to figure out who really killed JFK. And his theory is that Lee Harvey Oswald wanted to steal the Jack Ruby. We've been to Dealey Plaza.
The outside of it, yeah.
Yeah, we've been there. Yeah.
We didn't go inside.
No, we didn't. I will say this, though, and we don't cover a lot of conspiracy here because the line between fun discussion of the paranormal and total whack job, upside down, nonsensical conspiracy theory can sometimes be very thin. So we just don't walk that line. But if you've been to Dealey Plaza, it doesn't look in person like the pictures make you think. Like the elevations, the size of everything, how close stuff is to each other. It's pretty weird. It's pretty weird. It's a weird place. Would you agree with that?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. New Kids on the Block, season 12, episode 14. Season 12, episode 14. No, it's fine. That's why we have these conversations.
I don't think it's weird, no.
Well, I'm just saying, the book depository is really high off the ground compared to the elevation of... No. I'm not saying that all the conspiracy stuff is correct. I'm just... Okay. Anyway. There are people that hang out on the grassy knoll to this day handing out pamphlets who will tell you what, quote, really happened to JFK.
Or people who were either around or had been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, try to get there first. Like, I remember that one.
There's people giving little guided tours who were there. Yeah. Or who lived in the area at the time.
Pretty neat. No.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Literally, that's all I'm saying. I don't buy into all the crazy
stuff.
It's an interesting place to go visit. It's very historical. Okay. New Kids on the Block, season 12, episode 14. This is a whole take on subliminal messaging. It also features a cameo by NSYNC.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
The government is behind subliminal messages in boy bands.
Boy bands, yeah. Bart, Nelson,
Milhouse,
and Ralph are recruited to a boy band by LT Smash, who turns out to be...
Lieutenant Smash.
Lieutenant LT Smash. Who is working for an undercover recruitment program with the Navy, trying to get kids to sign up for the Navy. It's a super fun episode. It's crazy. And NSYNC, again, appears in this episode. And Justin... Word! That's what I was about to talk about! Justin Timberlake recorded the line, word, one time. And the production team looped it for every single other time that it's said in that episode. And he says it a lot. Do you have any idea how insane you sound? LT Smash's Navy tattoo is showing, and his shirt is blowing in the fan.
His pants get wider.
Such a funny transition. With little pull cords. But your pants! Finally, Grandpa versus Sexual Inadequacy. Bart and his friends become obsessed with a UFO conspiracy involving reverse vampires. Also kind of in the UFO category, so I don't know why I put it under conspiracy, but...
Vampires.
Also involves a conspiracy. Let's see. Robots, time travel, UFOs and aliens. We talked about cryptids.
I know. I'm still having trouble remembering what we talked about 6 months ago. Six weeks ago.
Like, six weeks, time is nothing to me sometimes. Literally all relative right now. Yeah.
Time is nothing.
Yeah. Here's one that I forgot to put in my notes. There is a character in the episode. I'm going to look it up. Back to simpsons.fandom.com/wiki. Thank you guys for being what you are. Appearances. Yes, Pokemon, that's the one. 10th episode, season 12. Okay.
Is that the one that Steve Buscemi plays?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
No?
No, that's a different criminal. Marge has had a long-standing relationship with the criminals of Springfield, from being a police officer to befriending Steve Buscemi to befriending Jack Crowley, who now I don't remember who was played by Jack Crowley Simpsons. Michael Keaton.
Oh, Michael Keaton.
Okay. To befriending Michael Keaton. Yeah, this is a fun one. And this might just be me grasping at straws because, you know, us paranormal folk, we look for synchronicity and alignment and everything that we do sometimes. And that's why I periodically have to put my phone on Do Not Disturb and take a long nap, which I can't do anymore because I have a baby, and that's not a complaint. It's just a statement of fact. That's why I'm talking so fast. But Jack Crowley is a character who appears in season... just look this up. Jack Crowley appears in season 12, episode 10, as a criminal who has a very strong talent for art. Marge gets him out on kind of like parole bail, and it turns out that he's a total whack job. But Jack Crowley, you know, some folks might recognize that as kind of a mashup of two names, Jack Parsons, Aleister Crowley. Yeah, who were both occultists and infamous paranormal guys who existed in the early to mid 19th century. We could spend a lot of time talking about Jack Parsons and Aleister Crowley. And in fact, a conversation that you and I had while driving through the Texas Dogman Triangle from Austin to San Antonio about Jack Parsons led to the birth of Hey Strangeness. That's a fact.
Yes.
That's a fact.
Well, I'm not going to say the question.
Go ahead and say it.
No, I'm Go not. Ahead and say I'm just going to say when you mentioned the name right now, that question popped into my head.
Go ahead and say it. I can bleep out the whole thing, but ask me whatever it is you want to ask me about Jack Parsons, and I'll answer it.
No. I'm okay.
Okay. Anyway, this character is kind of a psychopath, kind of an amoral, crazy person, you know, a very interesting, conflicted guy, and also a talented artist. Aleister Crowley and Jack Parsons were both artists. I don't know if this was intentional. I've done quite a bit of digging to try and find out if it was intentional. I can't find anything to back it up. I also can't find anything that states unequivocally that any member of the Simpsons writing or production team is an avid fan of the paranormal. But you would have a hard time convincing me otherwise. Some of the deep cut references we mentioned 6 weeks ago and also this evening. Other things that didn't make it into this episode. Because let's be honest, 30 some odd seasons, there's no way we caught everything.
No.
No.
A lot of it is on, when something just jumps out and you laugh and you realize that that's a reference to something in pop culture or that you recognize.
Yeah. And Simpsons.fandom.com/wiki has done a great job of cataloging this stuff. But, you know, again, when we're talking about such a vast body of work, it's kind of difficult to catalog it all. Mm-hmm. It's even more difficult to fit it into a single podcast. So I'm working on a spreadsheet that will be on Google Docs that will be available to members of the Strange Folk, which I will talk about later. You don't have to worry about that. It's fine. I'll handle that later. we'll have access to, and it'll actually be editable by people that have access to it. So we can continue to update this thing as we go, because there are a lot of references in The Simpsons. And if you are as invested in the paranormal and The Simpsons as we are, you want to know about all of them. At least that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fun little project. Closing thoughts, Sarah?
I don't know. I love The Simpsons.
Me too.
Very much.
Do you want to do a quick top three moments in The Simpsons that don't have to be in any particular
moments?
Order? Yeah, just three. Not even top three, but just three major moments that you're like, yeah.
About The Simpsons?
Yeah. Or even like, one. Like, if you think of one cutaway gag or anything, any moment in The Simpsons that you're like, this is why I love this fucking show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to go with... Burns and Homer's back and forth about his schedule. Is it about my cube? No, they don't go back and forth, but I just love that little, what is it? Smithers?
Homer the Smithers? Homer when the Smithers goes on vacation and Homer takes over and ends up pushing Mr. Burns out a window or something.
And Homer, he punches him.
He punches
him. And Homer reads off all of his messages and they're about his car getting towed and taken to, the car lot and getting crushed and... The phone rings and Homer picks it up and Burns' response is,
Is it about my cube?
I think I could always watch that episode and laugh, regardless.
That moment.
Because of that moment. There's other good moments in that episode. But
There's so many. You could ask me to do one from every season with which I'm generally familiar, and I would would still have a hard time narrowing it down, and that's 24 odd seasons, you know. But the one that I really like to reference, that I bring up a lot, is actually from the Simpsons movie, and it's shortly, such a good movie, I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's shortly after Homer brings the pig home, which changes names
you
a few times.
You do mention this one a lot.
It's so good. And he's singing the Spider Pig song. Yeah, Spider Pig, which became a phenomena in and of itself. Like, yeah. People who had no, didn't give a shit at all about The Simpsons were singing the Spider Pig song. I remember this because I went to church at the time, and church people are not allowed to watch The Simpsons. They do it anyway, but they're not allowed. But I remember this moment because he's walking the pig on the ceiling, leaving pig tracks, you know, all over the paint. And he's singing the Spider Pig song. And at the very end, it's like half a second. I timed it once. I think it's like a second and a half or less. It cuts away to Marge and she's staring at him with dead eyes and no expression. And just like a million things could be going through her mind. But you just see this acceptance of, this is my life. I married Homer. This is where I am now. And it's so, you know, like they could have done so much there. And most movies or shows would have. They would have had Marge cutting in and saying, Homer, you can't have a pig. But it's just dead eyes, no expression. It's so good. We didn't even talk about ghosts and hauntings. There's a lot of ghost references.
There's a lot. There is a lot. A lot in the Treehouse of Horror episodes. And I think that's primarily maybe one or two off episodes. Yeah. But yeah.
So we kind of, I mean, like, obviously this wasn't going to be a fully comprehensive discussion, but I think we laid some interesting groundwork. We pulled some references out that a lot of our colleagues made.
A lot of the earlier seasons, I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched much of the later seasons. I've tried to, but it's just harder to keep my attention, weirdly enough.
Well, people say, since we're talking Simpsons, let's get into this. People say that it's only good for the first 10 seasons. And then you talk to other people and they say it's only good for the first 15 seasons. And then you talk to people who say it's only good for the first 20. And it seems to me that it depends on where you were born and what kind of comedy you enjoy as to how long you feel the show is good
for. Yes, I would
agree.
I think their comedy does kind of change and grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Saturday Night Live. Like, if we're talking about long-running shows, you know, the humor has changed. The writing has changed as time has gone on. I would argue that the show, even today, is still good. But it just depends on how you feel and where you're coming from. For me, I can watch the first 20, 25 seasons on repeat, and I don't skip very many episodes at all. I actually love... Agree. Thank you for agreeing with me and validating my feelings. I love the clip shows. I don't care.
Oh,
I love those.
I'm back and forth.
I love them. And you know what? That's another thing that they pioneered, because what are the kids watching on YouTube today?
Clips.
Highlight reels. Clips. Yeah. Hot takes. That's what the news airs. That's what you go to, oh God, I sound so old. You go to CNN.com and it's just little mashup reels of hot takes and people saying things like, I think that this and that in politics. You know, it's all very like sensationalized. And that's what the clip shows were. But at least they were funny. Okay. Thank you for tuning into Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
I'm Sarah.
And we will be back in a couple of weeks.
I think so.
Yeah, no,
we'll try. We'll try.
No, we're going to finish that episode right now, actually.
Okay.
Because we've already done the work. Okay. Yeah, we made our first...
Okay, let's be real. We're first-time parents. We're exhausted.
Yeah, no. It's just going to take like 5 minutes. It's totally cool. We completed our first boots-on-the-ground investigation a few weeks ago.
I wouldn't say investigation.
We did some investigating.
Walking around.
We'll talk about it. But between starting this episode and finishing it, one of the many things that we did was have an overnight stay at the Menger Hotel, which is notoriously haunted and sits right next to the Alamo. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks to talk about that. First, we have another episode of Strange Conversations for you, and God knows what else I'll do in the meantime. But thank you for listening. It's so good to be back. This is so fun. It's so good to talk about something that's not exclusively werewolves. Even though werewolves are real.
Okay.
Thank you once again for tuning into Hey Strangeness. We're so excited to be back behind the microphone. And for those of you who have asked and waited some more, we have something super exciting to fill you in on. Starting right now, you can join the Strange Folk and become a part of the Hey Strangeness team.
Head over to patreon.com/heystrangeness, where memberships start at just $1 per month. We'll have more info for you on the show in the future, but for now, you know, give it a look, maybe, see what you think, maybe sign up, have a great time, live your dreams, join the strange folk, etc., and be sure to check out heystrangeness.com and at @hey_strangeness on Instagram. We'll be back next week for a very special episode of Strange Conversations featuring my good friends Heather Mosier and Jordan Heath. After that, we'll brave an overnight stay in the Menger Hotel and try to get to the bottom of what exactly the deal is with all this UFO stuff that's been in the news lately. I mean, there's no way we're going to get to the bottom of it, but I'm inviting some friends along who may be able to shed some additional light. And this is on the down low. Don't tell anybody about this, but we're trying to book Dirk Buckshot for an actual interview. He's notoriously difficult to get a hold of, probably because he refuses to use a computer and his phone number is too long to actually dial, but we'll keep you posted on that. I'm actually really worried about that. It's probably a bad idea. Stay tuned and stay strange. Well, that's a decent sign off too. We could go with that. We'll play with it. It's fine.